So let's get into the program, Holly, and talk about feeding our soil in the fall in the yard and the garden. Because many people, you know, oh, it's a gardening show. Gardening can be yard, can be landscaping as well. It can be a lot of different things. It's not just, you know, tomatoes and peppers.
Right, for sure. So, So feeding your yard or your lawn is very important in the fall. This is what most people do, and they people who really care about their lawns a lot will do this. And one thing that you want to do is you want to apply nitrogen to your lawn.
Now, nitrogen being what number on the fertilizer bag?
Something like a 25-5-5.
Okay.
That's the first number.
First number. No matter where you're, whether you're in Dubai, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Seattle, first number of every fertilizer bag is nitrogen.
Right. Nitrogen. So that's what you – so you want something – I mean, you could go like with a 25-0-0 or whatever, but typically it's going to be like a 25-5-5. And if you're not sure, you can go to your local garden center.
Independent, preferably.
Independent garden center and say like, you know, this is the first time I've had a lawn and I want to feed it. And they will help you.
There is fertilizer bags that have like 90-0-0. That's way too much nitrogen for the fall. You want something in that 20 range. Specifically.
Right, that's what the Colorado State University Extension says.
Okay, well, we'll
go
off
that.
Yeah, we're going to go with that. So, and that's really all you need to do about the lawn is just feed it. And now people will typically mow their lawn. Some people mow their lawn twice every week. Mm-hmm. But there is a certain period of time when you want to stop mowing your lawn, assuming you're one of these people that likes your lawn and really is spending a lot of time taking care of your lawn. There's some people that could give a not behind
right
about their lawn.
Right. So, oh yeah. So feeding your lawn is important. Like you can do this in September, October.
Right
most
now.
Areas. Yeah. And yeah, so you want to stop cutting your lawn when the daytime temperatures consistently stay below 50 degrees.
Okay.
Not 50 below, below 50 degrees.
Fahrenheit. We do Fahrenheit because we're in America. I don't know what that's in Celsius, but Fahrenheit, 50 degrees, consistent. You look at the long-range forecast 10, 15 days out, you're shooting 45, 50. Stop cutting the grass, no matter where the grass is at that particular time.
Right, right.
Assuming it's not a field that, you know, you left for hay.
I don't think many people have a field for hay.
Have you been in some of these neighborhoods?
Anyway, so
They haven't cut their grass since the turn of the century.
You're gonna feed your lawn before you stop cutting the grass.
Okay.
Typically,
so like you're looking at the long range forecast, you're gonna see the daytime temperatures begin to dip down. So about 2 weeks before, give or take.
No, you don't even figure that out.
Okay,
you just figure September, October, I'm going to feed my lawn.
Regardless. And then when the temperatures...
Then that's when you stop mowing.
Put that lawnmower in the garage shed and cover it up and don't look at it again until spring.
And then you get out the shovels and the snowblower.
Right.
Yeah. So That's the lawn.
That's how you feed your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could, you can top dress it. I mean, you could top dress it with some compost if you have compost laying around. If you buy in bulk.
Some people will seed their lawns in the fall, too.
Which is preferred.
Yeah.
Which is
so
preferred.
That's an option. And you want to, there's all sorts of information about that, but you can kind of thatch it in.
Just because it's October 15th and you're going, oh, I can seed the lawn, that doesn't mean you should seed the lawn in October. There's a certain time period and warmth that and all that. So you figure it out what's best for your particular area. But if you can still get it in, seeding your lawn right now is the best time to do such. All right, so we've got the lawn taken care of. Let's talk about the garden. What can we do to feed our garden? We not necessarily want a packet full of nitrogen. You never want to do that in a garden because the plants are going to suck all the nitrogen up, get big green in the spring, and nothing, no good there. And you don't want to put fertilizer in the garden in the fall because it will be used up or it will leach, you know,
snow melting, rain, whatever, it's going to wash it out typically.
Right. Yeah, it's going to make it ineffective by the time spring comes.
Right.
So don't do that.
No, you don't want to add fertilizer. If you have homemade compost that you know is not going to create more weeds for you.
What does that mean?
A hot compost where the weed seeds become, I don't know,
inactive.
Then you can add a layer of that. Some people will till their garden. We don't encourage tilling, but some people will till their garden in the fall to till like the plant life underneath. the soil.
Yeah, to let it break down. Now that's
up to you.
No, we don't encourage the tilling, and there's a few reasons why. One, there's a lot of life under the soil. When you physically till, now we are all we're in raised beds now, but you know, even when we dug potatoes or when we would work a bed, we would use a garden fork to lessen the damage on, you know, like earthworms.
Right.
But we don't till because there's a lot of microbial life. You're disturbing a lot of structure that's been put in there for the specific purpose of helping plants grow better.
Mm-hmm.
And when you when you till it up, you shake all that up and turn it upside down and basically cause everything to restart the cycle.
Right.
There is purposes and reasons why one may need to till, but generally, we wouldn't recommend it.
No. But, okay, so yeah, you can till. You can till your plant life back into your soil, or you can just pull, like, say you got a bunch of tomato plants. You can pull them out and just place them on top of the garden.
Right, assuming they're not been diseased.
Right, if they're diseased or something, you want to throw them away.
Right, with any plant life.
Right, any plant.
In the trash, not in the street.
Not in the compost.
Or not in the compost.
Or fire pit. Right, that. Yeah. So you can do that. So let's talk about leaves.
Okay.
This is our favorite thing, and this is what everybody's favorite thing should be to put on your garden.
It's free.
In the fall. Right. Leaves. So first, they're free.
Uh-huh.
Second, they provide you mulch. So you could put a thick layer, and they break down very quickly or by the time spring comes.
By June the next year, you don't even know. Whether you've shredded them, that quickens the breakdown process. We do not shred them, which gives us a little more life on them before they fall, break down and feed the soil.
Right. And that one year, remember you put a literal ton of leaves?
Yeah, 2,000 some odd pounds because I calculated what each barrel of leaves out of the street would, you know,
yeah
77 barrels, 70 something barrels at so many pounds, it was a little over 2,000 pounds.
Right. So what you can
do. Yes, I did that. Yes,
yeah. Yes. Now, when you go collect leaves, you're like, I don't have that many trees. Well, you can always collect them from your neighbors.
Right.
You can walk down. A lot of times the neighbor will put them in the, what's it called?
The gutter.
By the side of the
road. In the street.
In the street.
Now, if you're in a rural area, leaves are pretty easy to come by. If you've got a small garden or whatever, you can go to the edge of the woods and, you know, pick a bed of a pickup truck full of leaves. And take it back to the garden type of thing.
Right.
And it's much easier to find the leaves already stacked up in the street in an urban city situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been times where we raked the neighbor's lawn.
Yes.
Before.
And the neighbor across the street would say, these are the good leaves, these are the dirty leaves, these have other stuff in it. And because she knew what we were doing.
Right.
And nobody questioned at all. Maybe they think, you know, silently we're the crazy people, but, you know, we've been called worse.
I mean, people just assume that about us anyway. So anyway, so leaves. So the nice thing about leaves is, one, it creates a mulch. So maybe you're like, well, I don't want to put, you know, I only want to put so many leaves, but I want to save leaves for mulch for the spring. That's an option, too.
You can bag them up in paper bags and stack them in a garage if they're dry, or in the back corner, just stack them like straw bales and then use them as you need them through the summer months. A lot of people do that.
Some people have a compost turner,
mm-hmm.
and they'll save leaves to put in there during winter because their kitchen scraps are too much nitrogen.
Too wet, too much
too
moisture.
Wet, right. too much green. So they'll toss in, you know, like a couple handful of leaves.
So if you have a compost pile that is suitable to put in your lawn or your yard, in your garden, you can do that, even if it's not all the way broke down. If you know the seeds have been fried or exceeded the core temperature for 72 hours of 150 degrees or more, then you can add that in the fall. You can also trench in or, you know, layer over partially broke down compost, and that will, you know, it'll break down over the winter months slowly. But as the spring warms up, you can still, you know, utilize that as well. You know, if it's, you know, 60% broke down, 70%, you can go ahead and put that in the garden. Trenching meaning you can physically, like if here is a bed, you know, where you're going to put your tomatoes next year. You can dig a trench like you would be, you know, a traditional potato, you know, like you plant potatoes in a drill, like 6-8 inches deep. Flip that soil up, put that compost in that trench, cover it back up, and then that's where you're going to plant your tomatoes. So you've basically enriched the bed or the grow specific row of where the tomatoes will be or the peppers or the eggplants or whatever. So you've got a jump start on that. So all you got to do in the spring, put your tomato in the ground, maybe add a little organic fertilizer. Boom, you're done. You've already enriched the soil last fall with the compost that's broke down or partially broke down. And it's a win-win.
Right. So, yeah. And I just wanted to mention you can also do a cover crop type of situation.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that.
You can do anything that's like a large seed. So you can do things such as peas, vetch. You can even do wheat, which seems kind of strange for a garden, but it could be helpful.
Barley,
ryegrass, buckwheat, any of that. And that what happens is that will put that green manure essentially into your soil during the winter.
Well, yeah, it's growing, and then in the spring, as the soil can be worked, you're tilling that under, and then it's breaking down and feeding the soil to some degree. So that's and it also keeps the soil covered.
Right.
It doesn't leave that, and that's part of the key to the leaves and what we use is because you don't let the soil get exposed. We've all seen this in our garden where the garden has been barren and the soil looks very, you know, dried out and winded because of the wind and the snow and the rain, all that. And when you lift up the area that has been covered with leaves or mulch or whatever it is, looks very healthy and happy. You see you see a lot of things moving around, worms and, you know, creepy crawly things. So very big importance of covering your soil to keep it healthy over the winter months.
So speaking of that, as we move away from summer, now we're thinking about harvest time. And the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsors, Walton's Inc. And soon you might be harvesting furry friends from the woods. Uh-huh. And we know you care about where your food comes from, but canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created MeatGistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat.
And they've got a new coupon code available for anybody who's interested. Use coupon code GROW22 and save 10% off your order of $50 or more and get free shipping.
And that's WaltonsInc.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.